welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder, and today's episode is brought to you by Fairhaven Health. Stop battling with storage bags filled with either too much or too little milk. The Milky's milk trays freeze your milk into 1 ounce sticks. And today's episode is also brought to you by Sarah's Chill. Sarah's Chill's Shield Maiden nipple guards help parents overcome obstacles with latching, soreness, and flat or inverted nipples. And we will hear more from our sponsors later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check our sponsor page. If you need anything, see if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we are on Patreon. We hope that you will join us there because we are having lots of fun in this very supportive community. We're all really kind of getting to know each other and talking and getting advice and sharing stories. And you can click the link, the top link in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from, and check out the tiers. And we hope to see you there. And we are still hosting our ongoing giveaway for people who leave reviews around the internet on iTunes or any other podcast apps, stars, text, whatever. Also, everyone around the world is eligible. Just had somebody ask if it was okay to send one to Canada. Sure.
Absolutely. I've sent them to like South Africa and Europe.
We have people all over the world. So just, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you count.
You matter.
You matter. So send us a screenshot of your review. Send it to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll send you a goodie bag wherever you are. And of stickers. And thank you for nursing in public cards. Now Diane has our review of the week.
I do. And this one is a long one, but that's okay. I rarely write reviews. We are glad you wrote us one, though. I rarely write reviews, but the amount of valuable information that is shared is truly a labor of love for them. I never thought to look for a podcast. I had read books, listened to audiobooks, read articles and site, etc. I'm on my fourth and final breastfeeding pumping journey, and this is the most success I have had compared to the other kids. This baby makes me feel like I'm a first-time parent, and I don't know what I'm doing. This goes to show all pregnancies and babies are different. There's always room to learn and new things are always coming out. With this baby, I learned about nipple strike and refusal and all the distractions and discomforts they are going through. He went 14 days refusing. He's 8 months old and I was devastated. I posted in my local breastfeeding group and another nationwide group to see if I can get advice that I haven't looked up yet. Another mom has shared this podcast today. I was overwhelmed with the 300 plus episodes. Like, where was this podcast for these past four kids? She recommended one of the earlier episodes and I started there. Side note, I would love to see some type of list where topics are discussed into a playlist or something. So if I want to listen to all the episodes about nipple strike, I would know which ones to listen to. Wouldn't that be fantastic if we could actually,
I mean, it's a drop down menu. We could, we need to buy a drop down menu.
Oh, thanks for that suggestion, girl.
It's not cheap, but yeah.
Oh, we might have to do something.
We can ask Andrea if we can do a drop down menu. Yeah,
cool. I went scrolling through all the episodes related to my concerns. At my next feeding, I was overwhelmed with tears. He finally latched for 6 minutes after doing 14 days without nursing. I hope this is a start of getting back on the path of nursing because we are clearly not ready to wean. Thank you for all the time and effort you put out into this show. Times have changed, and I think I would have been more successful with my past nursing experiences if information was available. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Those nursing strikes, and we just did an episode. I wish I had read this review sooner when we did this nursing strike episode, because we did a nursing strike episode, I think, recently, didn't we? I want to say.
We did.
Yeah, very recently. And they can be just devastating, right? Like,
totally.
It's like, what is going on?
It's over. It's over. It's over forever.
And they went 14 days. Like, see, babies will go back.
Yeah.
They'll go back.
And they will. Yeah. And they'll go. They'll strike for a long time.
Yeah. They're little picket signs. They'll do it.
Right.
But for whatever reason, and we always say whatever they're going through, once they figure it out, they'll go back on. But I also love how she said that all babies are different. Right. This is her fourth one. Yep. And this is
you know, this has been hard. And it's true. They're all different. All of them don't, you know, and it's hard because you, like, you compare to what you know, right? So like you have one baby, you have experiences from that one baby, you go on and have a second baby. And of course you're comparing to that first baby because that's all you know, but they're so different. You know, they're just different humans. And we have to try to remember that when we're looking at our breastfeeding relationship with these babies or just anything, the way they behave, whatever. Fussiness, all of that stuff is going to be very different. Sleep patterns, different from baby to baby. So it's all different.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for leaving that for us. We really appreciate it. And you're right, though, too. I mean, I have so much to say about this review, but times have changed. And we know, like, when we do these babies and bumps, like when we were in Indiana and people were like, oh, yeah, we love, you know, I love listening to podcasts. This is great. This is just what I need. I need to have this podcast on breastfeeding because I don't have one that I listen to, because this is like where things have gone now. People aren't picking up books like they used to anymore. And we're looking for a quick way to get good free information. And I mean, things are just different than it used to be. I still like books. I mean, I listen to podcasts, but I still like books.
Yeah. I just yesterday was trying to transition from a wall calendar to like a calendar on my phone.
I can't do the calendar on my phone.
I can't. It's so hard. But then I'm at like, you know, I'm at physical therapy and she's like, when can you come back? And I'm like, I don't know. My calendar's hanging on my wall. And that always happens. I schedule it with her and then I get home and I'm like, damn it. And then I message her and I'm like, I messed up.
I know. I have a book, like a book calendar.
Yeah.
And I just carry it with me. Like I was getting my hair done yesterday and I just brought it with me because I would no doubt
you set up an appointment for a day. Like that.
I know. I totally do. And my purse is too small for me to shove it in there.
Right. So you just have in your arm.
Yeah.
Just walking around with your stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Cause I can't do it on my phone.
I know. It's too hard. I know.
Oh, so now everybody knows that we're old, but
yeah.
That's it. Show's over.
Well, yes.
We're going to talk about
the world is so stressful. Even for babies, they have oral tension too.
Babies have oral tension. Or they can. They might. But a lot of them do. And we overlook it. Or we're like, what the hell's wrong with this baby? What's going on?
Yeah.
Do they have ties? What's happening? Tension equals ties, by the way.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So how would we know if our baby has oral tension?
Well, there are some signs, but if with a tongue tie, they definitely expect there to be some oral tension there because there's restriction. Where there's restriction, there's going to be tension. We know that. But sometimes it's like they just feel really tight, you know, like I have had some babies where like I go to like let them suck on my finger so I can see what their suck feels like with a gloved finger. Don't let any like random person just stick their finger in your baby's mouth, please. With a gloved finger. And sometimes they're so like their jaw is so tight that they just like squish my finger. And it's like, that's what they're doing to your nipple.
Ouch.
Because it just feels so, their jaw is just so tight and they're just like rubbing, you know, they're not really sucking. They're just kind of like pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they put pressure on the breast, right, milk is going to squirt out at them. It's not going to be an efficient way to feed, but they're going to get milk that way. It's going to be painful and it's inefficient, but it happens. So sometimes we see the tension that way. Now, didn't you have a story about tension?
Well, just my own.
Yeah, I'd love to hear
because,
it.
Because, so, okay. So I have like, my ears are like messed up. They're like, I kind of like I have like sensitive skin and my ENT said that like that extends into your ear. And so it's like kind of wet and it doesn't really clean itself out. And so it's just weird. So I was feeling like this weird, like wetness in my ear. And so I was like, I got to go back to the ENT, except the one that I used to go to is like far away now. So I go to this new one and I'm like, yeah, here's the situation. And so I think there's just like stuff in there. And he looks in there and he's like, there's nothing in there. And I'm like, it feels wet. Like I can literally hear like water moving around in my ear. Like it feels like I have water in my ear. He goes, actually that can happen with like, if you're clenching your jaw or you have like a lot of tension in your jaw and, it can create that sound and that feeling. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And he goes, he puts his hand like on my, he starts feeling my jaw and he's like, your whole jaw is like swollen. Like it's really like, it's like really swollen. And he's like feeling it. And he goes, now open your mouth. So I open my mouth and it like crunches.
Oh my, like it makes a crunching noise. I'm doing it right now, by the way. I have to do it while you're talking about it.
Do you have a crunching noise when you open your mouth?
In
your
jaw? Yeah.
Because I have a serious one. If you be real quiet. Can you hear that?
I could hear it a little bit, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, so it's like crunching. He's like, this, he's like, you are, so, he's like, you need to look up TMJ, whatever that jaw thing is, and just like follow all of the recommendations they have for that with like relaxing your jaw. And so now I'm really focused on it. And I swear to God, every time I think about my mouth, it's tensed.
Yeah.
Like I constantly am like, oh, wait, my jaw. Oh, oh my God. It's tight. I'm like clenching my teeth.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I was reading in here, because I was reading a little bit on oral tension. And when they're talking about babies, a lot of times they say this stuff can cause additional problems moving forward in their life.
Well, yeah,
later
and see,
on
that's
down the
thing
line.
Too. It's like he was like, yeah, that's kind of like affect your, it goes down your neck. It can go down, you know, into your shoulders. It can go up your head into your, you know, create headaches and migraines and all of the, you know, he was saying like the same thing. It goes everywhere.
I'll
stop talking about myself.
No, I mean, but as adults, this will be the last adult story, I swear to God. But there's, I know a lactation consultant colleague, and she recently had a tie release done, like on herself as an adult. Wow. And she said immediately the tension in her neck was gone. Like the tension in her jaw her neck and everything was gone. Because she had a tie that she'd been dealing with forever, obviously, and finally had it released. And that tension, it stays with you. So what we see with babies is like, if there's a tie, so what a tongue tie is, and this is not going to all be all about ties, because oral tension can come from just even birth trauma. Mm-hmm. Like just, you know, the uterus is a small place and babies can be like really squished in there. And sometimes they come out with, you know, a little bit of birth trauma. If there was like forceps or a vacuum extraction used, that can cause a little bit of tension in their muscles, and you know, and everything's connected, like that ENT told you. So if you have tension in your jaw, you're going to have some tension in your neck, and vice versa. If we have babies that have torticollis, where they're turning their head more to one side than another, and those muscles on the side of the neck, their sternoclastoid muscle, if that's like super tight, that is going to radiate up into their jaw. And I have had and into their mouth and all of that stuff. And I have had babies that like were feeding fine. And then as the torticollis went unaddressed and got worse and worse and worse, it became harder and harder and harder for them to feed. So like all of that tension is, everything is connected, right? Like there's no reason why we should think, yeah, oh, because it's a baby, their muscles don't get tight or there's no tension for them. Because there is. And I've definitely heard medical professionals be like, oh no, it's a baby. Like, why would there be a problem, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, because
we're not worried about the political state of the world.
I know. But like, look at
other things.
Living. Like yeah, they're right. In a womb. Come on. Like it's small.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of room for them in there. Of course they're going to be squished. You know, I mean, it's just like, there's going to be some tension there. Like we see it.
Absolutely.
So what a tie is where is it here? I wanted to say I have this article that I had pulled up, and I'm going to link it in there because it does give a lot of good information about like ties and stuff like that. But a tongue tie is when a frenulum, like underneath it's that membrane of skin or whatever you want to call it. It's a membrane underneath the tongue. And it says when it's truly tight and causing functional issues, that is the definition of a tie. So if it really is like tight under there, it's causing the tongue to not move well. And it's causing other tensions in the body, like in their neck and in their jaw. Then it's not, you know, it's considered a tongue tie because it's restricting the baby from being functional. Like it's restricting them from being able to functionally move milk. And that's what they need to be able to do is remove milk. And it can interfere with bottle feeding as well. And a lot of times people are worried about like, oh, well, what about speech? And, you know, well, let's worry about their feeding first. Like, let's, you know, let's kind of like worry about, can they eat? Can they eat with this tongue tie? Is that like, because that's important, right? We need to be able to make sure that they can eat. So some of the stuff that we suggest with babies, which I think is just good anyway, is just like body work. And this is where sometimes people get a little freaked out because they're like, why would my baby need body work? And a lot of like medical professionals are like, why would a baby need that? Like, because they have tension. You know, and they don't have tension because they're stressed out from their job. They have tension because of the way they're born and what they're trying to do and what has affected them as they're being born.
Right.
So body work. And when we think of body work, all we're doing is like baby massage or infant chiropractors or cranial sacral therapy, like stuff like that, that is very gentle. And when we say like infant chiropractors, if you are open to that and you have somebody in your area that is specialized in specialized training with infants, they can't say to you, oh yeah, I do infants. No, they need to have specialized training with infants. And there is a special training that they undergo to be able to say that they are an infant chiropractor. Make sure that they have that training because you don't want somebody messing around with your baby that doesn't have the training to do that.
Hopefully they wouldn't.
I hear it all the time. Like, what? I'll have people come to me. Yeah, I'll have people that come to me and they'll be like, I'll ask, a lot of times I ask, like, did you see a chiropractor during pregnancy? Because a lot of people do. And they say, you know, if they say, oh yeah, and you know, that's where I take my baby. It's like, okay, are they trained with infants? Like, well, yeah, they do infants. And then I'll look them up and they don't have the little letters behind their name saying that they're trained with infants. Like, I know, like, maybe three or four in my area, and we have a lot of chiropractors because there's a chiropractic college right near here. So we have a lot of chiropractors in the area, and only like four of them are actually went on to take the additional training that they need to have with infants. And it just like they are comfortable with doing it. Like, people that don't have that training are comfortable with infants. And it's like, that's great and all, but you might not be targeting the areas that we need you to target because you haven't been trained in it.
Yeah.
So you need to be trained with that. But we should take a break.
Oh, we should. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Fairhaven Health. Are you tired of defrosting breast milk from your storage bags only to find that it's too much or too little milk? What if you could defrost the exact amount of milk you need every time? The Milky's milk trays look like regular ice cube trays, but have 16 semi-cylinder cavities that each hold 1 ounce of milk. When it's time to feed your baby or prepare bottles for the day, just pop however many breast milk sticks you need into any type of or brand of bottle. Nothing is wasted. No extra breast milk left over, tempting your caregiver to overfeed your baby and blow through your precious stash. Once the sticks are frozen, just transfer them to a freezer bag, freeing up the milk trays for your next batch of breast milk. And they come with lids so that you can stack them, which will free up space in your freezer. They are reusable, environmentally friendly, made with food-safe plastic, and can be used for baby food later on. There's no BPA, phthalates, or dyes. Check out the Milky's milk trays at fairhavenhealth.com. That's fairhavenhealth.com. And use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. And today's episode is also brought to you by Sari's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Created by a mom for moms, they know the challenges that this journey can bring. That's why they are committed to creating solutions that help families overcome hurdles and reach their breastfeeding goals. Their Shield Maiden nipple guards help parents overcome obstacles with latching, soreness, and flat or inverted nipples. Each Shield Maiden is made of laboratory-tested food-grade silicone that is velvety, skin-textured on the side used by your nursing baby and smooth on the mama side so it adheres well. But the best part is they change colors. The shields are a vibrant color at room temperature, so you can easily find them when you need them, and clear at body temperature to give you a more natural experience. Revolutionary mom tech is the coolest. Whether it's a game-changing breast milk chiller, an epic freezer storage system, or color-changing nipple shields, this company has everything you need and want. Sarah's Chill is truly breastfeeding reimagined. Head to Sarah's Chill, CeresChill.com, and check out the magic sizing kit to find your perfect nipple fit. Use the code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. All of our sponsors and their promo codes can be found in the show notes under this episode, wherever you are listening from. And you can also find all of this information over at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. Also over there, you will find our entire sponsor page, our resources page, and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane. Yeah.
So this article that I'm reading from comes from Lactation Solutions of Princeton, and I'm going to link this because she's got some really great resources on here as well. So for anybody, even just not necessarily just about ties, but even if you're just interested in learning more about like oral tension, she says here, and I love the way she puts this. Let me find it. In the early weeks, months, all babies need to unwind or deuterize. I love that. Deuterize.
De-uterize.
It's so fun. After pregnancy and birth, the uterus is a tight place and birth is a bumpy ride. This means that sometimes oral tension is not from ties, but from tight asymmetric muscles or connective tissues. Post-birth head molding, oral motor dysfunction, immature nervous system, and much more. Because of this, the topic of oral tension is very complex. Some babies have a good latch for a few minutes and then start to narrow, chomp, fall asleep, breast or bottle. Ties and oral tension can be like doing an exercise with a resistance band. You can start off easily, but then get tired from the resistance. Sometimes babies will start to use the wrong muscles to make up for this fatigue and compensate with their lips, cheeks, and jaws. And this can cause latch pain, air intake on the breast or the bottle, lip blisters, fussiness, and so many other issues. So, the lip blisters, like a lot of times you'll see like a little blister on the top of the baby's, like on the baby's top lip, or sometimes like all of their lips can be blistered. And sometimes people will automatically think that that's a sign of a tongue tie. And it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be only the sign of a tongue tie. And this is where we get like, sometimes people get crazy with these ties. They're like, oh my gosh, my baby have a tie. They've got all these symptoms. But a lot of these symptoms look the same as oral tension and as like suck dysfunction and stuff like that. So if the baby is having a hard time with their muscles and with muscle tension and with oral tension, then they might be compensating by holding on a little bit more with their lips and not using their tongue. I saw a baby that was doing this the other day, actually. They were totally holding on with their lips and their tongue was not working as efficiently as it needed to. They were doing, like, the baby had all this tongue thrusting that they were doing, not sucking very efficiently. And they were holding on with their lips instead of kind of like grasping the breast with their tongue and being able to move the milk that way. Instead, they were clamping down with their lips. Like, that is going to cause that blistering that you see. So it's, Yes, we see it with ties, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your baby has a tongue tie if you're seeing that blistering. It could just mean that they're figuring out what they need to do. And they need a little bit of time, or it could mean, and they're still learning, or it could mean that it's a sign of a suck dysfunction and they're not working their tongue the way they need to, or it could be a sign of a tie. So it's not all cut and dry as like, oh, lip blister. Oh, yep. Your baby's got a tongue tie. Quick, get them in for a release. Like, that's not what we want to do here. We don't want to jump to the conclusion that your baby has a tie just because there's some oral tension there. It could come from lots of different places. As she mentioned here, it can come from, you know, tight muscles, some asymmetry. And asymmetry just means that they're off. They're like not equal, like their muscles are not equal. And sometimes you'll see this like for babies that are maybe they latch better to one side than the other. And a lot of times people will mm-hmm. think, oh, well, the baby, it's my fault. You know, like I'm not comfortable with the baby on my left because, you know, I'm a right-handed person or, you know, whatever. So because I hear that kind of stuff all the time. It's like, no, it's the baby. It's totally the baby. The baby's more comfortable on one side than the other because that's their asymmetry. That's what's going mm-hmm. on with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were sitting in the womb for 9 months on your left side. Like, you know, like that's going to be, your baby's going to be only comfortable on one side if that's where they were laying the entire time on one side of their body. So we need to like make that more equal. But we need to recognize it first. We need to be able to recognize it and be like, okay, this is like an asymmetry thing, or this is an oral tension, or this is a suck dysfunction, or this is a tongue tie. So one of the other things to really be important to think of is that, yes, lactation consultants are super important for this piece, because they can, especially if it's somebody that's really kind of like good at this stuff, they can tell, okay, is it a tie? Is it, you know, a suck dysfunction? Like, what is going on with the baby? But you have to keep in mind that lactation consultants cannot diagnose a tie. We cannot do it. That is not in our scope of practice. And that sounds kind of strange, because you would think that we'd be able to diagnose, but we can't. It's not in our scope of practice. Sometimes I'll have people say, oh, my lactation consultant didn't diagnose my tongue tie. I got screwed over. They didn't tell me my baby had a tie, and they weren't helpful. It's like, they actually can't. It's not in our scope of practice to diagnose a tongue tie. It's in everybody else's scope of practice who's not trained in it, but it's not in our scope of practice to diagnose a tie. So you have to kind of like, it's frustrating. It's frustrating
but
for everybody.
Can.
We can.
You can.
Like, yeah.
I mean,
can,
like, I know you're not, supposed, to, but you
yeah.
can.
Yeah. Like, we know.
You're able to.
Yeah. We know. We're able to, but we can't tell you that. And a lot of times, too, like, I'll hear it. People say, like, in the hospital, they were like, oh, maybe the baby's got a tie. And I'm like, because they're not supposed to say anything about it. They can't tell you that.
They're not
That's
supposed
why they're
to
so wishy-washy.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It'd be like,
I know,
this looks like a tie.
Scope.
You should head to a dentist or whoever the hell does it.
Yeah, that kind of thing you can say. That kind okay. of thing is okay. But yeah, that's usually what I say. It's like, okay, you know, maybe you should get a second opinion.
Because just not saying anything, that's not okay.
That yeah, no, it's not.
That's not.
Yeah. No, anyway. But a lot of times people are wishy-washy about it. They're like, well, maybe. And it's like, well, you know, nobody wants to be definitive about it. So here it says here, when a baby has oral tension, I think of it as which came first, the chicken or the egg scenario. Are tight muscles anywhere near the mouth, face, or neck causing the muscles under and around the tongue, lips, and cheeks to appear or feel tight or asymmetric, and the head and body posture shape to lean more one way? Or are the tight connective tissues under the tongue, lip, or cheeks pulling on muscles in the face, neck, and shoulders, head, and the rest of the body? So it can really make it difficult for babies to eat if things are tight. And I tend to see this, and one of the things that I tell people, especially if I think it's a tie situation, because a lot of times I'll have families that don't want to do a release, and that's okay. It's okay if you don't want to do a tie release. Don't feel like you are bullied into it, because there are some people out there on the internets in some of these Facebook groups that are like, you have to get it released. Your baby's going to suffer for the rest of their days. And, you know, like, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, and some people really feel like they don't want a tie release, that's totally fine. That's okay. You don't have to release a tie if you don't want to. But usually what I tell people is, here's some things to watch for. This is how we know it's getting a little bit harder for them to eat. Maybe they're not transferring milk as well. They're slowing down. They're getting more tired. And that's because they might start out strong. But again, like this resistance band, it becomes more and more tiring as they go on, and it becomes harder and harder for them to nurse.
or feed even by bottle, because they need to use those muscles and they're not able to use those muscles. They're tiring very quickly. So, and that could be even, like I said, with babies, I've seen this happen with babies with torticollis, because all of that tension in their neck is causing tension in their jaw, tension in their mouth. That is making it really difficult for them to nurse well. And I've had babies that go from nursing great to not nursing at all because of that tension. And then once we have it released and it's, you know, they get it addressed, then it gets better. And they can end up going back to the breast again. But things to do for this, like we were talking right before we took a break, we were talking about baby chiropractors or infant chiropractors, or just baby massage. You can even just do that yourself with kind of like massaging around your infant jaw, your baby's jaw, trying to help them, like, you know, loosen things up a little bit. Tummy time helps a lot. Like, a lot of times with these babies that have a lot of tension, I'll ask if they're doing tummy time. And so usually they're like, oh, the baby hates tummy time. And it's like, because those muscles are tight, this is hard for them. You know,
yeah.
It's like they just put their head down and go to sleep. It's like,
well, yeah, yeah. And you can see them just like, oh, like nobody wants to do that. It's like me trying to do a push-up.
I know, these poor babies. So like, but tummy time really helps to kind of like, you know, address some of that tension. If you are not comfortable with the thought of an infant chiropractor, which is totally fine because some people aren't, a couple of suggestions, or what happens is like, I'll have one person that's comfortable with it, but the partner's not, you know, and that's, I mean, that happens. 'Cause we think about chiropractic as what they do to us. And I know what they do to me. If I thought what they do to me is what they're going to do to my baby, there's no way I would take my baby. But that's not
that
what
whole
happens.
Neck, that crazy neck thing?
Mm-hmm. They don't do
no
that
way.
To babies. No.
No. I won't even, I've never been to a chiropractor because I'm like, you're not doing that to me.
Yeah. Well, I just tell
you've
my
had
not
that
to do
done
that
to
part.
You?
Where they snap your neck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. So she doesn't usually do it. Ugh. If I go, she's always like, I know you don't like your neck mess. I'm like, no, I don't really like that. Yeah.
But yeah, they're not doing that to babies. Actually, my baby went to a chiropractor.
Oh, how'd it go?
I took him. It was good. I mean, she, you know, he was just really, really awfully uncomfortable in the car seat all the time, really upset. I don't know if this was like a real issue, but somebody was like, maybe he's just uncomfortable because of
tension,
you know, the way he was. Yeah. And he, I mean, we had like the most traumatic birth. Like it was, you know, he was. At one point, I won't tell the whole story, but at one point, the doctor was up next to my head, pushing down on my stomach, just literally trying to push him out of my vagina hole.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, I'm sure his neck was being compressed over and over again. Like, that's mm-hmm. not a thing that you do to try to get a baby out.
Oh my God. No.
So we went there for a while and, you know, no, she did very like gentle things. She had tools, actually. Mm-hmm. She had like a little board that she would use to like do something. I don't know. This was such a long time ago. I mean, he's 12 now. But like little things. I don't know. He was fine with it.
Yeah. Like I usually tell people too, like if your baby is uncomfortable in a car seat, they're uncomfortable in a swing, they're uncomfortable in like, it probably is some tension. Like mm-hmm. If they're always holding their head more to one side than the other, usually I can feel that spot on their neck, like feel the muscles on their neck and be like, feel how tight that is. And they're like, oh my gosh. Like it just that and that tension, it tends to get, you know, it stiffens up even more if it's unaddressed. But if it's something that if you're not comfortable with infant chiropractors, who really it's really just like a lot of massage type of techniques. But if you're not comfortable with that, physical therapy is a way to go for your baby. Because that can be really helpful and they can help you do little exercises. They can show you like little exercises to do with them while you're doing tummy time and stuff to help stretch those muscles a little bit and release some of that tension because that can really be helpful. And a lot of this does impact how they feed because they're just so tight that they can't get those muscles moving the way they need to. So it is, I mean, and don't let anybody tell you that like, okay, it's fine because all of those muscles are connected. You know, everything is connected. So they're going to have some trouble breathing. They're going to have some trouble feeding if their neck muscles and their jaw muscles are super tight.
that's going to be really hard for them.
So as we were saying, like, if the frenulum is truly tight and causing functional issues, that's the definition of a tie. So it doesn't mean that just because it's there, it's a tie. If it's causing functional issues, if it's making it hard for your baby to feed, if they're not able to move their tongue in a way that is going to help them feed efficiently, that could be the definition of a tie. But one of the things that I have seen, like, sometimes it can look like your baby has a tie. Like, it can look like that frenulum underneath is tight, or it looks like it's closer, you know, like you can see it. It's like, oh my gosh, my baby's got a tie. What do I do? Sometimes with these babies, what I have noticed is that they're like, their chin is sometimes recessed too. And there's some tightness in their neck. There's some neck tension and some jaw tension. Once all of that stuff loosens up, everything moves forward, right? Everything relaxes and moves forward, including the tongue muscles. So it might look like there's a tie there, but it's actually just that tightness. And once everything moves forward and relaxes, then it doesn't look like there's a tie there anymore. So that's why I don't like people to run out and get releases done, because it might not be that that's the problem. It could be that it's something completely different. It could just be oral tension that's causing the problem and not necessarily from a tie. It could just be birth related. So it's really kind of tricky sometimes. And that's why you need to see somebody who knows what they're doing, so that they can tell the difference between, like, oh, okay, is this a tie or is this not a tie? The other thing with it too, is that I personally like to err on the side of, like, less,
least invasive.
The least invasive stuff. So I will tell people to do the body work and all of that stuff first and see if that helps. And she even says that in this article too. So we're right on the same page with it, where it says, like, get body work done, do some exercises with your baby, do some massaging with them and see if that fixes it. And if it does, then we know that it's not the tie, right? The tie is going to be there no matter what with all of this stuff. And if all of that stuff isn't fixing it, and the baby is still struggling a lot with tension, then we know that that's what the tie, that it's the tie. If all the rest of it is fixed, then it's not. Don't just go by symptoms only. Don't put on online, my baby is doing A, B, and C, and have people go, oh, it's a tie, and you run out and get it fixed. Like, don't do that. Make sure you see somebody, because it could just be some tension that you're working through.
And you know, I always think about, like, babies, like, okay, well, they're like supposed to be born. Like, that the whole process is so natural. So why would it be that they just, like, come out automatically with, like, stuff that needs to be fixed? Like, shouldn't they just come out, like, perfect? Except if you think about yourself, like, you were made to give birth to babies, and there's still so much healing and work that you need to do after that.
That's true.
Even if you give birth in the most natural, you know, in, like, a tub of water on the side of a mountain, you know, with whatever, like, you're still going to need to heal and do work to recover from that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your baby does too.
Yeah. Because
that's a rough ride.
It is really rough.
It's like a few inches, but that's the roughest ride that you'll go through. Their bodies go through a lot.
It really is.
You see them come out. I mean, Exley's head was like it was almost folded. Like, he had, like, a butt crack along his, like, skull, because he was just born so fast. And she was like, you know, I think this is just from the birth, but, like, we'll keep an eye on it. And, like, in a couple days it was gone. But yeah, I mean, like, think about how much even just their skulls are, like, molded and pushed around.
Yeah, there's a lot. This is so totally,
going to have some tension.
Absolutely. They're absolutely going to have some tension. So, yeah, so this is kind of like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much stuff about it, but I'm going to link this article, and there's some great resources in here and things that you can do. So if you're kind of suspecting that your baby has a little bit of oral tension, then, you know, you can kind of look into some of this stuff. But we're always here to help answer questions and stuff too. But yeah, that's it.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.